This is 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Welcome to a special episode of 1010 Thrive, the first in a five-part series about a man who remembered to give thanks. I am called Ephraim, a Hebrew name that means fruitful, but I am not Jewish. I'm a Samaritan. I was born in a town called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Palestine in the days of Herod was divided into three regions: Galilee, Judea, and Samaria. The Jews hated the people of Samaria, my people, the Samaritans. In the days of King David and King Solomon, our ancestors lived in the northern kingdom. When the 10 tribes were carried away into captivity to Assyria, the king of Assyria sent people to inhabit our homeland. These foreigners intermarried with the Israelite population that remained behind. Because we not only married foreigners, but adopted many elements of their religion, we were despised. After the Jews from the southern kingdom returned from their own captivity in Babylon, some of our people came to help them rebuild Jerusalem. These returnees, called by ancestors half-breeds, and sent them home. With no place to worship, we built our own temple, which the Jews considered pagan. Tensions continued to build over time, so much so that by the time of Herod, the Jews hated us so much, they would rather cross the Jordan River than travel through Samaria. In chapter 4 of his gospel, John records the story of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman. Samaria was located in the northern half of the formerly united Israel, and Jesus was passing through it on his way from Judea to Galilee. Note that he did not avoid Samaria as other Jews did. Outside the town of Sychar, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. He asked a woman to give him something to drink from what she drew, and she wondered why a Jewish man would speak to a Samaritan woman. Jesus was breaking a cultural taboo because of both race and gender. Jesus then offered her living water. This confused her, and she responded, "Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Apparently, the history of the well was common knowledge.
I was the second youngest in a family of eight. My mother and father and five brothers and sisters. We were poor, but we were honest and hard working, and we got by. When I was 18, I married a beautiful girl named Talia. I moved into her father's house, and he taught me how to work as a stonemason. Soon I was working beside him, getting stones from the quarry and working on various building projects throughout Samaria. When I was 20, Talia gave birth to her son, Manoah. 3 months after Manoah's birth, I discovered the first ulcer on the bottom of my left foot. I did not pay much attention to it. It was common to get blisters in my line of work, and it didn't hurt. But then I got a lump on my earlobe, and my skin started to get discolored. If Talia suspected anything was wrong, she did not say anything. But my father-in-law noticed, and he demanded I go and show myself to a priest.
After they left Egypt, and as they traveled through the wilderness to Canaan, God gave the Israelites very specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections. Anyone suspected of having this disease had to go to a priest for examination. If found to be infected, that person was declared unclean, physically and spiritually. Such a person was expelled from the camp.
The priest examined me. I remember his furrowed brow and pursed lips. He did not say much. Finally, he told me that I needed to be remanded to determine whether or not I had contracted leprosy. My legs buckled and my throat went dry. Leprosy! But I was a young man, strong and healthy. I had a family, I had responsibilities. Leprosy was a death sentence. For 7 days, I was sequestered in what was little more than a prison cell carved into the side of the mountain. Each morning at dawn, someone would come with water and bread and leave it outside the entrance to my cell. That was all I was given to eat or drink for the day. I was all alone in that confined space, left to wonder what I had done to end up there. Still, I had hope. Maybe after 7 days, my symptoms would begin to clear up. Maybe after that time, the priest would say that I had some other less serious disease, and I could return to be with my family. After 7 days, guards came for me and took me back to the priests for a second examination. Once again, he concluded that I needed to be remanded. Thus began another 7 days of being shut away. I remember that day when I met with the priest in the temple courtyard for the third time. "You are unclean," he said. "You have leprosy, and you must leave the city limits immediately." I couldn't return home. Leprosy sufferers had to leave their homes and families and live together with other sufferers on the outskirts of towns or in the mountains. Some would live out in the desert or out among the graves. As children growing up, we would hear stories of these people who we imagined were like monsters, horribly disfigured and foul-smelling, who were often covered from head to toe and who lived in the shadows. Now I was condemned to be one of them. Those diagnosed with leprosy were forbidden to have any contact with people who did not have the disease. They had to ring a bell and shout unclean if anyone approached them. They could not go to the marketplace and were forbidden to take part. I sent news to my family of what the priest said. Talia put some food and wine in a satchel for me, and one of the quarry workers brought it to me by the city gate several hours later. I did not get a chance to say goodbye to her or to Manoah. That first night, I sat outside the city gate and cried deep, heaving sobs. I ripped my clothes and covered my head with ashes. I asked God what sins I had committed that I should be punished like that.
This is the end of part 1. To be continued.